This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
Some rough economic numbers today. We'll tell you what they are and what it means going forward. China and the World Health Organization. An ugly marriage there. And a medical staff keeping things light. And we all need a little light right now. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Well, that's week number two of a distinction I hoped we would never get to before. That's week number two of over 6 million unemployment claims. You remember where we were 2 weeks ago when we rolled out 3.2 million unemployment claims? And they were stunned. I mean, I should say the experts were stunned. I wasn't stunned. It's exactly what I told you was coming. Then over 6 million again last week. Now, over 6 million again this week, and we are rapidly getting to a situation that is, I mean, there's no positive way to spin that. It's a disaster. I saw there was an article today talking about how this seems worse than the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009. Well, gee, do you think? Let me try to put this in a way that the experts will understand, even though I know you already understand it. During the recession of 2007 to 2009, even during the Great Depression, there were outside factors that caused a severe economic downturn. In 2007 to 2009, we had a financial bubble burst. So it caused all kinds of dislocation in the markets because this huge financial bubble burst. But, and this is a big but, it didn't force everybody to stop in place. As long as everybody's still moving, as long as you have a community, a country of 330 million people, yes, they're going to hurt. Yes, you're going to have to make adjustments, but they're going to bounce around. Meaning when you have Gus's hardware shop here on the corner and the financial bubble somehow costs him his shop, which is terrible, there's still another guy somewhere in town who things are actually going really well for him. And he was looking at a new location to open up Sam's hardware shop. And so he moves right into Gus's, employs some of the same people, keeps some money flowing throughout society. When you have a recession, it gives people an opportunity to move around. It's ugly. You don't want one, but people are still moving, using their brains, thinking of different ways they can make money. And in so doing, spread that money around society as they hire people, as they spend money. That's how it works. That is nothing, nothing like we're doing right now. And this is why articles like that bother me. You're making false comparisons. You're acting like there's somehow a precedent for what we're doing now. There is no precedent for any government at any point in the history of the world for a government pointing to an entire country and saying, stop. No. I didn't say slow down. I said stop. Get back in your apartment. Well, wait, can I go down and open up my business for the day and maybe get, nope, that door stays closed. But what if I, nope, if you even try to open that door, I will turn off your water. I will turn off your power. I will have you arrested. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, can I at least go to the park with my family? I'll call the police. I will call the police if I see you out and about. In fact, we have our cops patrolling the city looking for anybody even driving around by themselves. And if they find you, you better have your papers on you or it's jail time for you. That's not something we've seen before. It's just not. We have ordered the entirety of our society to put on concrete shoes. They can't adjust. They can't move. There's nobody sitting on a pile of capital right now because, well, yeah, his business went bad, but my business is doing great. I think I'll open up a second look. There's no movement. When you take huge parts of your economy and you order them to stop in place, you don't give yourself an opportunity to adjust. Which is why the previous record for unemployment was under 700,000 as far as 1 week goes. And we tallied a 3.2 million and then broke it the next week. And then we have another 6 million this week. And I have news for you. And I know it's bad news, but I'm here to give you the truth. It's going to be another 6 million next week. Because what you see happening right now is businesses across the country, even the well-run businesses across the country, they're starting to lose their capital. There is always a time limit. Every business, large and small, the small ones more so, but every business, large and small, has a time limit on how long they can go with zero revenue or severely reduced revenue. And that time is up at some point in time for everybody. Maybe you had a week. Maybe you were banking on a big order that got canceled and that finished you. Maybe you were super financially solid. I've told you this story before about, you know, guy I know, super financially solid, super well-run business. He said, our revenues are at zero, we have a month, and everybody's gone. The clock is ticking. And I don't know why this has become so difficult for supposedly some of the smartest people in the country to understand. The clock is ticking. And so many of these businesses, they're arguing that it's 25% right now. I would argue it's higher, but even if it's just that, they're arguing 25% of these small businesses are closing permanently. And again, allow me to explain. If I run a small business, I sell tires. I got my own little tire shop, Jesse Kelly's Tire Shop, and I crank out tires. I have, well, only so much capital. I have to lay off employees if nobody's allowed to come buy tires. Even then, I have utilities to pay. I have rent to pay. I have insurance to pay. I have taxes to pay. I have all these expenses. Once all my money's gone, and once my borrowing power is gone, I have to do that thing called bankruptcy. And when I go bankrupt, a month from now, when you say, hey, Jesse, go ahead, open up the tire shop again. We're good. I say, with what? I don't have any money. I declare bankruptcy. And now when I walk down to the local bank and say, hey, Tim the banker, I'd like a loan to open my business again. He's going to say, sure, what's your credit score? And I'm going to be all... yeah, about that. I just declared bankruptcy, and he's going to say, sorry, Jesse. I'll see you in 10 years when you build it back up. That's where we are. Speaking of social distancing, take a look at this unemployment line. Remember who's been telling you that depressions are bad for social distancing? It's not just the Hoovervilles that come later. That is the unemployment line in Florida as we speak. That's happening now. Again, so when you hear all these people say, well, I hope by the end of April, I'm optimistic. How is that optimistic? End of April is not optimistic. That's ugly. And these people who talk about longer, 14 to 18 months, they've gone beyond bad thinking. Those people are insane. Here's Cuomo.
We're also going to make an additional $600 payment to all unemployed New Yorkers. The federal government says they will reimburse us for it, but people need money now in their pocket. So New York will be doing that immediately. We're also extending the period covered by unemployment benefits for an additional 13 weeks, goes from 26 weeks to 39 weeks. So that should be a relief.
Woo! We're saved! They're handing out government checks now, and now we're saved. Except, well, New York can't print money. They're not the feds. Unemployment money that they're giving away doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It comes from the state budget. It comes from tax revenue. It comes from tax revenue that has been slaughtered by our reaction to this virus. So, where's that money coming from? Oh, there'll be some from the feds. They've already announced they're printing another $2 trillion. What did I tell you was going to happen? Well, someone stock up on ink. Let's get to the printing presses. But this is going to blow out every budget deficit you have ever seen. Why? Because, again, this is not a 2007 to 2009 recession. This is not something we've seen before. Oh, and speaking of those unemployment benefits, we're going to help everybody, right? Well, listen to how it helped this lady.
All specialists are busy with other customers. You must call back this week.
I've done that 50 times every day for 2 weeks.
Yeah. She's not alone because my inbox is filled with people writing me, begging me to help, asking me what they can do. I just got hung up on Jesse. I tried filing for unemployment. They said I don't qualify, and I know I do, but... And you know what? For once, I'm not even ripping on the state unemployment offices. I mean, it's government. Yes, it's inefficient. They were never built to withstand this. Remember Cuomo that 1 week came out and said, well, the previous record for New York was 50,000. We had 1.2 million last week. There's not a precedent. There aren't enough resources in the world to withstand that kind of barrage. It's like putting on a bulletproof vest and getting hit by a nuclear bomb. What difference does it make? We're entering uncharted waters, people. Uncharted waters. And instead of putting up Facebook posts screaming about your neighbors who got caught closer than 6 feet away, what you need to start doing is writing your mayor, your congressman, your governor, your state house, your state senator, maybe even your president, and saying, we're out of money. Help. Here's the legendary John Taffer.
They're getting compensation now for employees, rent, and utilities, of course, through the government programs. But there is no provision of opening yet. And for example, when a restaurant opens, they're going to have to spread their seating to create more social distancing within the restaurant. Ainsley, that'll drop capacity of that restaurant 40, 50, even 60% based upon the floor plan. So they have a much smaller restaurant to deal with now in size. So they're going to hire less employees because they have less customers. So that's what scares me. And the restaurant industry, they can't reopen without inventory. And there's no government program right now to facilitate inventory because all the refrigerators are empty. If they don't fill those refrigerators and 40% of these restaurants don't open, farmers don't get those orders. Food manufacturers, distributors don't get those orders. There's a real supply chain impact if these restaurants don't reopen.
Gee, who's been warning about that? I certainly don't want to take any credit for it. It's exactly what I told you was going to come. And by the way, those chains he was talking about, it goes on and on and on down the line. All those restaurants you've seen closing and all those idiots you've seen on TV say, well, it's a pause. Oh, they're going to open back up again when we open. No, they won't. Oh, and did I mention, do you know the margins that restaurants run on? No, I'm not talking about Applebee's with 9 million locations. Do you know all the local restaurants you love? Do you know the margins they run on? I mean, shoot, even the big chains, too. It's not very much. And like he just said, now you're going to force them to operate at half capacity? I've known several restaurant owners in my life who will tell me, look, we don't even make money on the food. All the money we make for a month is made on Friday and Saturday night on the drink orders. We just hope we break even on everything else. Now you point your finger at that guy and say, all right, you're allowed half your tables. He's gone. He's gone. And that sucks. Mitch McConnell has a plan. Well, the Senate has some kind of a plan. $250 billion worth, that's what they're trying to pass for small businesses. His quote is, my colleagues must not treat working Americans as political hostages. This does not have to be, nor should it be, contentious. Please do not block emergency aid you do not even oppose just because you want something more. Nancy Pelosi responded with, well, this drivel.
People who are underbanked or unserved on that basis. They don't have banking relationships sophisticated in a way that others do. So if we said for the next 250, we really need to have a percentage of that, just $60 billion, that would go to something called a community development, a financial institution.
People who don't have normal relationships with banks? Community development financial institution? Well, who could that be? I mean, I'm thinking about it. What kind of a business wouldn't have any relationship with a bank? I've been around in my whole life. I've told you about it. I know several right now, and they all have a relationship with a bank. I mean, except for the illegal ones. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We got a long show for you. Hang on. It's time we all acknowledge something. Look, we all do this thing. I do it. You do it. In various ways, we all lie to ourselves to make ourselves feel better about things, to cope, to get by. We don't want to acknowledge that every time we hop out on the highway, it's dangerous out there. We just want to put on the cruise control and get to work. We tell ourselves these little lies all the time. It's how we get by. And one of the little lies America as a whole has told itself for far, far too long is that we are not at war with China. Just because the nuclear weapons aren't passing each other in the sky over the Pacific Ocean does not mean we are not at war with China. Does not mean we are not. I don't think you're supposed to say that. Whatever, I'm going with it. We are at war with China. They are open about it. You've heard the great Dave Brat talk about it endlessly on this show. They actually have published papers stating that we are. Now, look, you can think that you aren't, but China is. China admits to being at war with us. And my great concern, is that we are going to finish this whole disaster. And we're going to have, what, 100,000? 150,000 people dead worldwide? That's a lot. We're going to have trillions in economic damage, trillions of dollars wiped off the books. We're going to have, forgetting about other nations, just Americans, millions whose lives will be altered, some permanently in a negative way because of all this. My concern is we are going to finish all this and try to get back to business as it was instead of addressing a severe, severe problem. Let's be honest about what happened. I don't know how this virus got out of China. I don't know if it was, as some have claimed, a bioweapons lab accidental leak. I don't know if it was a bioweapons lab clean leak or leak on purpose. I don't know if it was somebody eating a raw bat at a wet market. I don't know. You don't know. We may never know because China is such a secretive communist organization. Well, I guess Congress is too. I'll quit. Stop. We may never know. But I do know this. China covered it up. China lied. And many, many people have died because of their lies. Plus, China buying up masks, buying up ventilators so other people can't. A virus spreads throughout Italy, wiping out thousands of people there, And China forces Italy to buy Chinese products to help fight it? China is a bad, evil country. And it's time we just be frank about that and we stop trying to get back to business as it was and we start trying to address the root cause of this problem. At least we have President Trump there, and here's Vice President Pence talking about the World Health Organization and the fact that they seem to be buddy-buddy with China, yet another person beholden to China.
You know, this is a president who believes in accountability, and the American taxpayers provide tens of millions of dollars to the World Health Organization. As the president said yesterday, I expect we'll continue to do that. But that doesn't mean that at the right time in the future, we aren't going to ask the tough questions about how the World Health Organization could have been so wrong. I mean, literally at the time that President Trump stood up the White House Coronavirus Task Force in January and suspended all travel from China, just days before that, the World Health Organization was continuing to diminish the threat of the coronavirus and its impact in China. We'll get to the answers of that, and we'll create accountability just like the American people would want us to do.
Let's hope we do. I hope Vice President Pence there speaks the truth. And the truth is this, and this is what kind of hurts. It can't just be us. It can't be every other country in the world saying, well, I'm really mad at China, but I mean, they do sell us some cheap stuff. It has to be a global effort, or it'll all be for naught. That's just the ugly truth of it. And you remember China being at war with us, how that's a fact? They're also stealing our data.
One of our highest priorities in the counterintelligence realm, counterespionage realm, and protection of trade secrets is our activities directed to defend against the Chinese. The Chinese are engaged in a full-court blitzkrieg of stealing American technology, trying to influence our political system, trying to steal secrets at our research universities and so forth. We are focused on it. We have something we call the China Initiative. We brought a lot of indictments, but it's something that we also have to expose by letting the business community understand exactly the nature of the threat.
That doesn't sound like somebody who's just, you know, a partner. Sure, there's some tension there. People, we are at war. Stop lying to yourself. We are. Let us hope this is a sea change so that we can get something good out of this whole disaster. Well, the important thing to remember is the Pope is all over it. Pope Francis says, I believe we have to slow down our rate of production and consumption and to learn to understand and contemplate the natural world. We need to reconnect with our real surroundings. This is the opportunity for conversion. Okay. We have a father heading on down to go play softball with his family. This father was placed in handcuffs. I'm not making this up. He didn't organize a church service. He didn't tell 20 people in the neighborhood, hey, let's all get together and cough in each other's mouths. He went down to the park to play softball with his daughter, and the police showed up and placed him in handcuffs in front of his daughter. That didn't happen in China. That didn't happen in Russia. That is in the United States of America. That is in the United States of America in front of his daughter. Oh, but look, it gets worse from there. We have become a society of tyrant snitches who scream at each other and put posts up on Facebook and call the cops when we see people standing too close to each other. Or, in the case of this doctor, he just flat out assaulted him. Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at this absolute psychopath throwing people out of the way for not social distancing enough. Oh, we still have the grand finale coming, don't we? Look at this. Choking somebody for not social distancing enough. This virus has turned us into something I prayed we never would. Maybe I was wrong. Talk to Ken the Court in a second. Hang on. Joining me now to talk about this madness that's happening in the country is Ken LaCourt of the Court News. Ken, before we get to anything else of doctors choking people and neighbors snitching on each other and in America I frankly don't recognize, obviously the big story of the day is the unemployment numbers. This is surprising to every idiot out there in the various levels of government. It's not in the very least surprising to me. I've been predicting this the whole time. We have 17 million. Everybody with a brain knows that number is actually low. Ken, man, we don't have to the end of April, right?
Well, look, a lot of businesses are, a lot of businesses, if they don't get either some help from the government or, and that might be in some of the cash that's coming, or if they don't get to start opening some things up, they're going to be gone forever at the end of this. Look, I still think the fundamental parts of our economy are strong. Stock market is doing better than one would expect. I mean, you know, we basically told everybody to stay home and stop working and stay home. And if you can work out of your home, great. Stock market's down about 20% off of its high. I mean, it dropped closer to 40% and it's clawed back a good chunk of that. But I think America can get back up and running pretty good unless this thing lasts too much longer. And I suspect that there will be increasing pressure on politicians to open that up. Once you see the death rates coming down, they're still going up, but the infection rates or the new infections are starting to flatten off, and they will hopefully be dropping soon. But of course, anything the president does on that, he'll be accused of being a murderer. So he's going to have to put that calculus in because the media is in lockstep with their messaging, and their messaging is everything that you do is wrong. So the second that he says one person can go back to work, it's he has blood on his hands. So he's going to have to deal with that. But he can't.
Speaking of what he has to deal with, let's go political ramifications just for a moment before we get back to all this. Look, Ken, I'm not going to lie to you. I do not have faith that the economy comes roaring back. I mean, we already have estimates out there. 25% of small businesses are gone for good if this goes 4 to 8 weeks, which it looks like it's going to. Look, we're going to come back at some point in the future, and some of it's obviously going to come back right away, but we are going to see an economic contraction, which means we are going to see high unemployment. And as much as I love the president, much as I'm going to vote for him again, that does not speak well for a re-election campaign.
Well, it depends. On the other hand, if the economy's gone in the crapper, who would you rather have to get it out? Donald Trump or the guy who forgets his name every other time? I mean, so one could argue that even, you know, he's not going to get too much of the blame. I mean, look, the press will do exactly what they can, and they will put the best spin on thing to make it look like he screwed up A, B, and C. But I think there would be a very good argument to be made if we are still in an economic trouble that he's not getting the blame for that because it was a worldwide thing. And his background as a business person, his background as somebody who understands the economy, you know, certainly better than his predecessor, that actually might play into him. It might help him in a weird way.
How does this look from a state and federal level? Let's assume, if I had my way, it'd be tomorrow, but it's not going to be tomorrow. Let's say the federal government stands up and says, hey, let's start opening back up again in a smart way, which is what I think they're going to do. No one says we should just throw open the doors to everything. Let's start opening up again in a smart way. What I'm concerned about is states, especially states with Democratic governors who are uniquely invested in making sure this economy stays down. I'm worried about them saying, well, maybe that's what Trump wants to do, but I'm not risking lives. We are staying locked down. Is that the way this is going to go?
You know, I mean, by and large, we've seen these decisions being made on a state-by-state basis. I don't think he has the ability to say, hey, California, you have to tell people to go back to work. I mean, he's been somewhat consistent on that. Ironically, everybody's trying to paint him as a dictator, and then when he doesn't act like a dictator, they complain. But that's a whole separate issue. So I suspect that it'll be a state-by-state thing, and I suspect, and so, you know, those people have some skin in the game, too. I mean, you can say that, yeah, maybe they in some way want to hurt the economy to hurt Trump, but if you're the governor of a state and you are seen as moving slower than others, that infection rates aren't moving up in those other states, and that those people are going to work and you're still sitting in your house unemployed and the checks aren't coming through because, you know, it's not going to be easy to give away a couple $1 trillion. It's going to be problematic and it's going to be unfair to many people, and many people are going to get hit hard on that. So, you know, they've got some skin in the game in that sense, too. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how that works. I suspect there'll be some guidelines and recommendations from the feds, which they'll probably start laying out. They're starting to do that with workers who've been infected but who are in important jobs. They talked about, you know, here's a standard to come back. Those are the talks that I hope we start talking about, you know, right after Easter, of what is the path forward. Not necessarily what day do we all go get to work, but how low should infection rates be? What should the next things, you know, what should be the first things that get opened up? What should be the last? Those are hopefully intelligent conversations that somebody's having.
I'm a little bit worried about the thought process going on in Congress right now, Ken, and I'm talking about the Republican side. I mean, I always know Democrats are going to be insane, but when I see they're trying to pass another small business bill, part of me is thinking, well, good, you should, you forced them all to close. And the other part of me is worried that they actually think that that is going to get people by. When we're talking about $350 billion, that's a drop in the bucket. And when it's handed out in the way government hands it out, which means not very well, it's worth even less. Are they under the impression that this is going to work?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, clearly it's going to be a tough way for them to give out that money, to do all these things. You know, Lord knows what's going to happen to the economy once you pump a couple $1 trillion and just start printing money as fast as you can. I mean, you know, we kind of haven't done that in my lifetime, at least. You know, some people will be okay. I mean, look, if you go in California right now, if you went on to unemployment, you got 4 months where you're going to get 100% of your salary if you're in a low-end job. So if you're a waiter, well, you might not get your tips and whatnot on that. I'm not sure how waiters exactly work. But if you're fired because of a coronavirus, there is federal unemployment aid that's coming on top of your state. So you're going to have a few months cushion on that. Now, maybe we come so slowly out of that where you're still in trouble. I think that some industries will certainly come in later. It's going to be a while before I feel like sitting on a plane with a bunch of breathing people. But on the other hand, you know, the second or third time I go to my local diner, I'm going to be happy to be going back to the diner, and I think they're going to be as full. You know, it's going to be a weirdness when you get to talk to somebody face-to-face without a mask in the world. But once that happens, I think that some businesses will come back pretty quickly. So, you know, tough to say on what that range will be and who will be pulled in okay through the emergency measures they're taking and who's going to be left behind, because there's certainly going to be some of both. Some people are going to come out ahead of this, guaranteed.
Ken, I'm a cynic by nature, and so when I hear all this tough talk about China, you know, we're going to punish China, and this country's going to punish China, and the world's going to move on from China, and China's going to have to do this, and China's going to have to do that, sounds like a lot of hot air to me, because I've heard this kind of tough talk for a long time, and yet China controls, I mean, let's be honest, way too much in the world. Do you actually believe this will push serious movement against China?
You know, I think it's a good question. I mean, weirdly, there's only been one politician in the last 30 years who said things against China and then came in and started kicking them in the teeth on his first year in office. I think that also helps. It's like, you know, you look around at all the landscape of every single politician, who's been the one bitching on Oprah for 20 years about China? Actually, it was Japan back then, too. So I think that it'll embolden him, and nobody's going to be like, oh, you put a 15% tax on, so, you know, there's not going to be any of that, any more of that wine talk when he does something tough. I think other countries will, you know, I'm not sure. You know, most people like to talk and then they forget about things. But, you know, China's lying about this and covering this up. I mean, there's 100,000 people dead today because of this thing, who a lot of them wouldn't be if China would have just been like, hey, here's how this is expanding. Here's what the R-naught number is, not the crazy BS numbers we're giving you. Countries would have done a lot of different things. And so there's a lot of anger going on. So, you know, I think they'll bite off their nose despite their face? Do I think that they'll stop doing business in China? You know, no, but I think that they will do some things, you know, whether it's lesser funding for the WHO or getting China its position out of it, whether it's you know, we need to stop having Chinese researchers come in and vacuum out in our universities every bit of scientific information and business information and give it back to China for free. I mean, we're their R&D department. You know, do I think that if I was running the biggest Chinese telephone 5G company, do I think that you know, do you think Boris Johnson is still going to give them that deal now? Maybe, but that it might be those things on the edge. Do I think the world will turn against China? Not really, but I think that there'll be some low-hanging fruit in some ways that they'll try to say, you know what, you're not acting like a civilized country should, and we're not going to treat you like that until you do.
Ken LaCourt, LaCourt News, thank you, sir.
Good being here.
We got a lot more me. Hang on. Joining me now is the host of This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. Drew, the Pope thinks that this is a lesson about too much consumption and being harmful to the environment. And look, I'm not a Catholic, nor would I be one to speak out of turn about the Pope. I don't know the guy at all, but that seems insane.
Yeah. Well, first of all, not to offend anybody, but he's just a man. He's just a man. I think people put a little bit too much stock into him. I get it. But yeah, I mean, anytime someone brings the whole climate change thing, like it always starts right with you shouldn't do X, Y, or Z. You shouldn't do whatever it is, consume too much, do whatever in this case, consume too much. And then you know that their next step is going to be because it's affecting the climate, which has nothing to do with any of this. It has nothing to do with what's going on right now. It's just a whole load of malarkey. And I think it's funny that he's chiming in and talking about this. And I think it's even funnier that people put so much stock into what he says.
Speaking of malarkey, Joe Biden and the No Malarkey Tour, he's still running for president. How do the people in his life allow this to continue? Drew, I've got to be honest. Look, everybody knows what they think he has, or at least suspects something. Whatever he has or doesn't have, he's clearly degenerating in front of our eyes. How does his wife, how do the people around him, how does the Democrat Party as a whole not step in and be like, bro, this is not working?
Yeah, I don't know. And not only that, but they wanted him to be their guy, you know, for whatever reason, whether they have some, you know, illustrious plan to push him out at, you know, and you know, bring his VP up, whatever the case, I don't know. I actually hope they do have a plan like that, because the current one is remarkably bad. I mean, you look at even some of the folks who are cheering him on CNN and MSNBC, and you just get these, you know, like deadpan faces from the interviewers, the anchors, who can't believe just kind of how out in left field he is. And then, you know, you see him and his wife together on videos, like he gets startled really quickly, like forgets where he is. They startle each other. It's a sad thing. I don't know how anyone in his camp is letting him do it. I don't know how they think that he can make it through debates this whole campaign season, and then the stress and the rigor of being the leader of the free world for 4 years and sleeping, you know, a couple hours a night. I can't wait to see him try and pick a fight with Donald Trump and actually say, let's go out in the parking lot during one of the debates, because I know that's going to happen. He does it all the time.
You know it's going to happen. He spent the last few months before this thing mercifully took him off the campaign trail calling voters fat, poking them in the chest, patting reporters too hard on the arm, screaming at people, and now he's going to stand on stage in a one-on-one debate and debate the man who is better at making people angry than anybody I've ever seen in my life?
Yeah, it's going to be remarkable. I can't wait. I don't care what the format is, if they have to change any of it for the, you know, this crazy virus stuff, whatever the case might be, as long as we get to see football and we get to see those debates, you know, I'll be right as rain in the fall.
And I have to say, before I change the subject, maybe my favorite part of that whole thing is you would think most people who are about to debate Joe Biden would realize how sensitive this is. The public can see he's not okay. I better back off a little. Should I handle this with kid gloves or not? And the best part about that is, you know, that won't even occur to Donald Trump. He's just going to blast away both barrels because
exactly.
He gives no quarter to anybody.
I mean, he is just going to go in there with reckless abandon. He could care less what conventional wisdom says. It's going to be definitely something that you make sure, even if you switch cable, this is like an infomercial here for a second. If you switch providers, make sure there's a way that you can DVR this and take it with you, because it's going to be that good.
Oh, gosh. All right. Iran or Iran, depending on how educated you are. They are upset. They're telling the world that we blocked, which we did, a $5 billion handout to them from the International Monetary Fund. I see some Americans, some, you know, I'm sure they're very tender-hearted Americans, saying, how could you do this? This was coronavirus. to where I respond, they're our enemy. And if you have your enemy under siege, which we pretty much do because of the sanctions, and a disease breaks out in the city you've put under siege, you don't lift the siege. You sit back and light a cigar because you just won the siege.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, hearing this argument from people this week, whether the media, you know, bleeding heart liberals, or just kind people out in middle America who don't know any better, which, you know, look, we can't expect them to understand what's happening in you know, the intel world and the diplomatic world. But that's exactly how I look at this. Look, we've got our foot on their throat. When as mean as it sounds, when we've got the opportunity to knock them out, you knock them out. You finish the fight and end this. It stinks for the people who live there. It's, you know, it's just, it sucked they were born there in the first place because it's a crappy country. But that's just, we can't fix all that. What we can fix is fixing this, the largest state sponsor of terror in the entire world, and putting them out so they're not a relevant player in the game anymore. And anytime you get an opportunity presented like that, you take it and you run with it.
Drew, what's something we're not thinking about on the world stage as far as how this thing is going to affect everyone? And I worry about it because I take a step back and I think, well, we have so much of the civilized world. Maybe the deaths aren't there, and they're not. But economically, this has been devastating. We have so much of the civilized world taking a step back when it comes to what they can spend, what they can do, military spending, intelligence. Who are you worried about stepping up out of this besides China? I know we're all worried about China.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, jokingly and not jokingly, my biggest concern at this point is making sure that football season is back on track because that is, I don't know what I'll do. I won't be available for interviews. Yes. I will be in an awful spot if that happens come the fall. But I don't know. I think that there's so many things that can affect my bigger, I guess maybe not genre or industry or your, you know, company or sector, is just the fact that how quickly we went down this road and how quickly things just broke. You know, we basically turned everything off, just flipped the switch. It was literally that simple. It's like the Brian Regan skit where he's asking the person to just flip the switch. Like, we just flipped the switch and turned everything off, and people got so panicked. So I think what I want to see is, and maybe this is the flip side of your question, is I want to see the media and people around the globe step up and handle this better next time, because I get it, and I've said it even on your show. Like, I think people should abide by some of the rules now and just play nice. We're getting corporate punishment. Let's just get through it so we can get back to normal. But I think that how people have seen that they can take this information and just paralyze the world. This is like the DC sniper case on, like, the biggest amount of steroids ever. Everyone is you know, panicked, struck with fear, not going out. It's crushing the economy, it's crushing everything. So I want to see more responsibility out of the government, out of the media, and how we present this thing and give a message of hope instead of, well, you're all going to die. You're just going to die, and you're not going to have any toilet paper, so you're going to smell when you die. That's basically what we've heard.
Drew Berquist, host of This Is My Show, highly recommended. I appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. We got more. Hang on. We all need to keep our sense of humor. There's no question things are rough. Look, it sucks out there right now. There's no question about it. Keep your sense of humor. Keep things as light as humanly possible. Sometimes if I want to just have a good snicker, I'll turn on a Nancy Pelosi press conference. It gets me through the night. You, however, can enjoy this Philadelphia medical staff. They call themselves the Swab Squad. I'm glad I don't have to say that five times fast. And they do these dance routines. Just sit back and enjoy. I don't know any of the words to any of those songs. However, I did enjoy that. Let's hope our medical personnel are staying safe out there. You Say a prayer for all of them tonight. Enjoy our special we're going to do tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern, right here on the 1st. It is something you're going to want to be here for. I'll see you then.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.